Well, I thought this morning it would be appropriate for us to give some thoughts to celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday. And I want to spend the minutes that we have together and kind of prime the pump, if you will, to help us in our celebration of Thanksgiving in a profitable way. The purpose of Thanksgiving. Now, pay attention because this is very novel. The purpose of Thanksgiving is to give thanks. And so before Thursday comes and before the carnage begins and before we all turn into couch potatoes or whatever you do on Thanksgiving Day, I want to encourage you to actually, personally spend some time in giving thanks to God. Maybe gather your family together. Talk about what you should be thankful for and actually give thanks to God. I thought I'd begin this morning with a brief history of Thanksgiving, and then I want us to look at the duty of Thanksgiving and then some of the things maybe we should give thanks for this year. The history of Thanksgiving, I want to begin with letter A. Who were the pilgrims? Many of the pilgrims that came over to our country were members of a Puritan sect known as Separatists. The Separatists were those Puritans that believed that the Church of England over in England was really beyond repair, and the only appropriate action was to leave the church, withdraw from the church, and develop a pure church more in line with biblical guidelines. Now, the other Puritans, and this is where the name Puritan really comes from, is that there were a group of these godly men and women who believed that they should stay in the Church of England and try to purify it. Thus, the Puritans. But some of those Puritans basically had given up on there being any successful attempt to purify the Church of England from all of its errors, and so they separated from the church and ultimately were the ones who came over, and we call them the Pilgrims. So the Pilgrims were the Separatists, a category of the Puritans, basically those who had given up on the idea of purifying the Church of England. Now, when they came over, what we normally think of as the first Thanksgiving occurred in the fall of the year 1621. Now, what exactly was the nature of that celebration in the year 1621? Well, number one, it was a harvest celebration. In other words, it was during the autumn time. Their crops had come in at that point in time, and they were giving thanks to God, but they were also celebrating the fullness and the bounty that God had provided for them. Now, in the Puritan eyes, this was not an official church day of Thanksgiving. When we speak of Thanksgiving as a day of Thanksgiving, the Puritans really, when they spoke of a day of Thanksgiving, had a much higher concept than we do today. Their day of Thanksgiving was a day given literally to church services, and it would be very much like a Sunday service when you would go to church probably at least twice. There would be preaching, there would be singing, there would be all these things as a church family would gather together. That is really not what that first Thanksgiving celebration was all about. It was more of a harvest celebration rather than a specific religious day of Thanksgiving. The first declared Thanksgiving or day of Thanksgiving occurred actually 2 years later than that, in the year 1623, after a time of drought. And the church came together and they prayed for God to send rain. And God providentially sent rain, and then they called upon a specific day of Thanksgiving to praise God for the rain. But this first celebration is more of a harvest celebration than a Puritan day of Thanksgiving. The day of Thanksgiving that the Puritans believed were appropriate were always in response to God's providence, like the rain that I just mentioned. They would therefore not be held on a regular basis. They would always be a response to God's providential blessings. So they could occur really at any time throughout the year. They were always celebrated on a weekday, so it actually gave 2 days of worship that particular week. Their Sabbath, which they believed Sunday was their Sabbath, and then another Sabbath of Thanksgiving. So they were in church for 2 days that week. If, on the other hand, the people were going through a very difficult time, a trial time with great difficulties, they may call for a special day of fasting and humiliation. So they had the day of Thanksgiving and the day of fasting and humiliation. They could be called any time throughout the year in response to God's providential dealings with the people. But again, in 1621, what is taking place is primarily a harvest celebration, a celebration of the autumn crops. And it was a very joyful time as well. Now, it really, we began to call this Thanksgiving in America really around the time of 1890. So up until then, in America, we really didn't celebrate that first harvest feast, and we didn't call it Thanksgiving until the end of the 19th century. Now, number two, it was also a time of thanksgiving to God because the pilgrims were very religious people. They always gave thanks to God. They always acknowledged God's hand in it. But it was primarily a harvest celebration, but obviously with that was a time of thanksgiving. Edward Winslow, who later became the third governor of Plymouth Colony, wrote one of the two surviving eyewitness accounts of that harvest festival in the year 1621. And this is what he said. "And God be praised, we had a good increase. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling so that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together." So in response to this providential blessing of God, of a good harvest, they were just celebrating the harvest celebration. Now, when he mentions that 4 men went out fowling, that means they went out bird hunting. And those 4 men apparently went out and killed enough birds to feed the people for a week. Some of the birds that they were able to successfully shoot were ducks, geese, turkeys. Therefore, we get our turkeys associated with Thanksgiving. And even swans. I don't know, I've never tasted swan meat, but apparently it was good enough for them. They also enjoyed fish that they caught from the sea. Fish such as cod and sea bass. And of course, they had the Indian corn. That was what they were greatly celebrating, was that big harvest of Indian corn. They also could have had a variety of native nuts and fruits, as well as herbs and spices, and maybe some garden vegetables, maybe a few eggs, maybe some goat's milk. We're kind of not certain about all that they might have enjoyed. But during this time, it was not a day given to like what we think of a church service. They shot their guns, they played games, and they entertained Indians for 3 days. And these Indians, by the way, brought 5 deer to contribute to their part of the meal as well. So it's primarily a harvest celebration in 1621. It was also a day of thanksgiving because everything they did, they thanked God. And later on in the 19th century, our government officially identified Thanksgiving with that particular event that happened in the year 1621. So that's how Thanksgiving really came into being. Now, who were there at that first harvest celebration? You remember this, the people that came over on the Mayflower numbered about 102, and that first winter was brutal, and half of them died. You remember the story? At least half the people died. So that when we come to this first harvest celebration, in total there were only 140 people present. 90 of them were Indians, and 50 of them were the pilgrims out of the 102. So about 52 of them had died that first winter. So only 50 of them were left. But they had 90 Indians, including their chief, Massasoit. Now, among the 50 pilgrims that were left and still alive after surviving that first brutal winter, there were 16 men, only 4 adult women, 23 children, and 9 hired servants. The women, these four women, with the help of the children, oversaw the cooking and the preparations. And no doubt they were very busy bees because this thing lasted for 3 days. So it was a very wonderful time of celebrating God's goodness and also sharing with those Indians that were there as well. Well, moving on today as we celebrate Thanksgiving this Thursday, I want to remind you of several things. First, I want to remind you that we do have a duty to give thanks to God. Now, why should we give thanks to God? Well, we should give thanks to God for the very same reason we give thanks to anybody, and that is because they have blessed us or given something to us of value. And the only difference between giving thanks to somebody else and giving thanks to God is that nothing can compare with the blessings that God gives. So when we give thanks to God, our thanksgiving is in light of blessings received from God. And that is why we give thanks. Thanksgiving to God is most appropriate. It's a very important part of worship, so that without thanksgiving, our worship is defective. If you worship God, but you do not give thanks to God, your worship will always be defective because you're not acknowledging the benefits and the blessings that God has given to you. Giving thanks to God is an essential element of worship, and He most certainly is worthy of that. It's as appropriate to give thanks to God as it is appropriate in the natural realm after a rain shower for there to be evaporation and some of that moisture that hits the ground to rise back up to heaven. It's as appropriate to give thanks to God as it is in the natural realm when the sun shines on a little flower and the flower turns its face back up to the sun and follows the sun all the way across the sky. It's appropriate for a flower to do that because it's receiving the warmth and the rays from the sun. It's appropriate that it turns its little face back up to God, almost as if to acknowledge where its source of life comes from. And so in the spiritual realm, it is appropriate for us to give thanks to God, to acknowledge where all of our blessings come from, and to give praise to Him. Thanksgiving should be kind of like a spiritual tithe to God. As God sends us blessings, we return a portion in praise and thanksgiving to Him. And every blessing should have a tithe of thanksgiving to God. Every little mercy, every grace, every benefit should produce a thanksgiving back to God. A tithe, if you will, to acknowledge from whom that blessing came. To be blessed by God and not to give thanks is to cheat God of the praise He deserves. And such ingratitude may very well plug up and stop the flow of God's blessings in your life in the future if we forget to thank God for what He's given to us. Letter B, for what are we to give thanks? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us quite clearly, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're to give thanks to God for everything. Everything we're to give thanks to God for. William Bridge, one of the old Puritans, wrote these words, "Give thanks when you are full and when you are empty, when you are strong and when you are weak. Give thanks when you are delivered from the hands of your enemy, but also when you are delivered into the hands of your enemy." And he makes reference to Job in chapter 1, verse 21, when Job was basically given over into the hands of his enemy. And the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans and the windstorm and all that came into his life that plundered him and stole from him and robbed from him and made him weak and empty. And yet in the midst of all of that, he still had the grace to give thanks to God. And he blessed God. "For the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. blessed be the name of the Lord. So that Job learned to give thanks to God in everything. So for what are we to give thanks to God for? Everything. It is God's will that we do this. Not just to be thankful in times of plenty, but to be thankful in times of need. William Bridge again said this, "There is no condition so sad that does not have some good mingled with it. No darkness so dark, but some light shines in. No misery so miserable, but that some mercy gets in. Heaven is all mercy, hell is all misery, but this life is made up of both. It is a twilight, some good in every condition. And therefore, in everything, we are to give thanks to God." The way we do that is by focusing on seeing the good in everything in life. And even if William Bridge is correct, and I believe that he is, that there is no misery so miserable that some mercy does not get in, then it is our duty as the people of God to look for that mercy in the midst of the misery and to give thanks to God at least for the mercy, but to give thanks to God in everything. That is our duty. That is what we are commanded to do by God. Letter C, when are we to be thankful? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 gives us the answer. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. That is, we're always to be giving thanks. Always. In other words, there is never a time when thanksgiving is not appropriate for the people of God. Never a time for that. We should give thanks when we're standing near the crib of a newborn. We should give thanks when we're standing near the grave of a lost loved one. We should give thanks when your ship comes in and when your ship is going out. We should give thanks when we rise up in the morning, and we should give thanks when we retire at night. We should give thanks when we're young, and we should give thanks when we're old. And it's not too early for all of the kids here this morning to begin to give thanks to God. It praises Him. It brings Him honor and glory. It's never too young to give thanks to God. It's always good to thank the Lord. Now, what are some specific items that we can thank God for this Thanksgiving season? Well, let me give you five of them, and I'm going to use the acrostic BLESS to kind of help us hang our thoughts on a peg that might be a little easier to remember. So I'm going to use the BLESS. Sounds like the BIBLE that we learned as kids. But this is the BLESS because I want us to try to remember some of the things that we should give thanks for this year. The first letter B is for our bounty. And this is nearest to the original Thanksgiving of the Pilgrims because when they had that first harvest celebration, it was in response to the bounty of God. That great harvest of Indian corn that they had, that those 50 surviving pilgrims had such an abundance that they could share with the 90 Indians that were around them. So we should thank God for our bounty. And of course, that's always relative. One person's bounty may be less or more than another person's bounty. But all of us have been given a bounty from God, and we should thank the Lord for it. Now, how do we maintain a thankful heart in this way, thanking God for our bounty? Well, several suggestions. Number one, don't desire too much. Don't desire too much. Those who desire much will expect much, and then they will not be content if they only get a little. And the result of that will be they will be ungrateful for what they have. So don't desire too much. Be humble in your expectations so that when you are disappointed, and if God in His infinite wisdom chooses that too much of that would be not good for you and He only gives you a little bit of it, well, then you're still thankful because you have humble expectations from God. Don't desire too much. That would be point number one. Point number two, Remember the depth of your sin and your unworthiness. Remember what you deserve. Remember what we are. We are sinners by nature. And what we deserve as sinners who have broken the law of God. We deserve nothing but hell. Remember that. And that will give you a thankful heart. And even if your bounty is just a wee little bounty, you will give thanks to God for that. Because you know that you don't even deserve that. That we're unworthy, that we have sinned against God. And when we remember what we deserve, then any little blessing will be delicious to your soul. If you remember what you deserve as a sinner before a holy God. Psalm 103 verse 10 says, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And we should remember that God has not dealt with us according to our sins. And though we live our life in its entirety in one affliction and trial and difficulty after another, we should be thankful to God because He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Because if He dealt with us according to our sins, then we would be at this moment now in hell. So remember the depth of your sin and your unworthiness. Number three, a third way to help us to give thanks to God for our bounty is just to count your blessings one by one. How many of y'all this morning are thankful to God that you live in America and not Afghanistan? I mean, praise God for America. Now, America is a country with many problems. The church is weak. Religion is just all confused. And I recognize the freedom of religion. That's one of our liberties that is very valuable to us. But, you know, we've seen lately that, you know, you got all lifted up in Christ and just absolute confusion. There's only one God. And that's the God of Scripture and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. But nevertheless, I tell you what, you know, you see the pictures of those people living over in Afghanistan, and praise God for America. I remember years ago, Patty and I made a short trip over to Romania, and we were standing on a street corner, and these traffic was just running by us, and every time a car would come by, it would just belch out all this black pollution of exhaust. And I mean, it would almost take our breath away. And at least we have somewhat of clean air in America. And, you know, you look at the way those... I mean, you know, women, think about it. Thank God that you don't live under the rule of the Taliban. Because if you did any little thing that was out of step, they would march you out and they would shoot you in the head with a gun. I saw that on TV several weeks ago to some woman that disobeyed her husband or did something like that, and they took her out and they shot her. You know, we should thank God for America. You know, just as a spiritual exercise to count your blessings one by one, walk into a room in your house, any room, I don't care which room it is, and just stand in the middle of it and slowly turn around and thank God for everything you see. I mean, the paint on the wall that adds a little bit of beauty to your room. And then you might have a picture or some decorative thing over there to thank God that He gives you these little things to bring a little joy into your life. And you know, there's a wall outlet over there. I mean, we've got electricity in our house. And you can just begin to thank God for all the things that we take for granted. We've got a ceiling up there that keeps the rain off and the hot sun off. And just begin to thank God for all the blessings, just to count them one by one and to realize just how bountifully God has blessed us. We need to thank God for our bounty. Remember that every blessing you have, small or great, temporal or eternal, has come to you from above. For James chapter 1, verse 17 reminds us that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And the Father gives them because Jesus bled for them. And all the grace that we have ultimately goes back to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So letter B is thank God for your bounty. Letter L, thank God for your losses. Thank God for your losses. We're to thank God in all things. That includes our bounty and also our losses. It's an act of faith, granted, to give thanks to God when times of loss come our way. But a thankful heart will give you a Midas touch. For if you touch your afflictions and your losses with a thankful heart, it will turn them into gold. What do I mean by that? Well, let me try to explain. That when we bring a thankful heart, even to our losses, even to our afflictions, it sanctifies them and impregnates them with spiritual gold in several ways. Number one, it will give us more peace to help us rest in the Lord during such times, because thanksgiving to God for our losses will bring a calm into our soul as we acknowledge the presence of God. See, when I'm going through a difficult time, when I'm going through a loss, and I stop and I thank God for the difficulty, I acknowledge His presence. And wherever the presence of the Lord is, there will be a calm. Remember when Christ was in the boat with His disciples and the great storm was blowing upon them, the water was washing over the sides of the boat, and they were scared to death. And they woke up Christ, who was asleep, and He stood up and He rebuked them for their small faith, and He said to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still," and they immediately calmed down. Whenever we give thanks to God in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our losses, we acknowledge the presence of God in our life, and the presence of God will bring a calm and it'll help bring a peace so that we might better endure the difficulties that we're going through. Number two, when we give thanks to God for our losses, it will give us more faith to trust the Lord, because your thankful heart believes that God has a good and godly purpose behind that frowning providence. In other words, your faith will be enlarged. Because when you give thanks to God for this trial, what are you saying to God? God, it ultimately comes from you. It's your plan and your purpose that this loss comes into my life. And if it's your plan and your purpose, my loving Father, You who love me more than anyone else, if it's your purpose for my life that this comes into my life, then there must be a good and godly reason for that. And when we give thanks to God, our faith is bolstered to embrace the fact that God has a good purpose in that loss and in that trial and in the midst of that affliction. We believe Romans 8:28 is really inspired by God, that God works all things together for good. Number three, giving thanks to God in times of losses will give us more power over the devil. Remember, James tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And when we give thanks to God, what we are doing is resisting the devil. That is one way to resist the devil, is to turn and give thanks to God for the loss or the affliction or the trial. And we resist the devil. We resist his attacks. We resist his influences when we give thanks to God. Now, the devil loves to hammer us in times of losses. He loves to weigh us down with depression and discouragement. But a thankful heart just slaps the devil in the face. It pinches his bony cheek and kicks him in the backside, because ultimately it's saying, "My God is in control, not you. My God is sovereign, not you. My God is working all things well, not you." And it gives a severe defeat to the devil. It shames him. It sends him running. As a thankful heart trusts in God, believes in God, submits to God, and this, of course, drives the devil crazy. So if you want to drive the devil insane, give thanks to God, because he hates that. Number four, when we give thanks to God in times of losses, it gives us more grace to fight worry. And I know some of y'all love to worry. You wouldn't know what to do if you didn't have something to worry about. But worry obviously is not good. And a thankful heart is a cure for worry. That's why in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, be anxious for nothing. He says, look, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. See, it's when you give thanks to God that your worry begins to decrease. Why? What is worry? When we worry about something, worry is a fear of some future potential loss. I'm worrying about something that's going to happen because in my eyes it's a negative, it's bad, it's a loss, it's something that's going to take something away from me. So I'm worrying about it because I'm scared of whatever might happen because of the effect it's going to have on me, what it's going to take away from me. Now, a thankful heart, on the other hand, has our focus upon what God has already given to us. In other words, my focus is on the blessings that I've already received. I'm not thinking about what I might lose out on, but I'm focusing upon what God has already given to me. So when I give thanks to God, I'm focusing upon the blessings I already have. I'm not focusing upon what I might lose in the future. So a thankful heart is a cure for worry. So we should give thanks to God even during times of losses. Letter E, we should give thanks to God for our election. For our election. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Now, I realize when I say that we should give thanks to God for our election that there's a problem here because most Christians don't believe in the doctrine of election, so they're not going to be giving thanks to God for it. But for those of us who do believe it and believe that it's taught in the Word of God, then we are duty-bound to give thanks to God for our election. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. When was the last time that you thanked God that He chose you from before the foundations of the world for salvation? It's something we should do. The Apostle Paul is saying, we give thanks to God because He chose to save you. And He chose you from the beginning. And ultimately, we know that's from before the foundation of the world. He chose to save you. And we give thanks to God for that. And every Christian should give thanks to God because God has chosen us, notice, for salvation. He didn't choose us because He saw that we had already were saved. He didn't choose us because He saw that we first chose God first, but He chose us that He might save us. He chose us for the purpose of saving us, and therefore God is worthy of thanksgiving. Why should we thank God for our election? Because God didn't have to choose us. He could have justly not chosen to save us. There was nothing in us to make us worthy of being chosen by God for salvation. There was no good in us. There was no merit of any kind in us. We were sinners like all the rest. We deserve judgment like all the rest. We're blind, dead, and full of enmity toward God like all the rest. And there is nothing good in us, nothing, nothing, nothing at all in us worthy of being chosen by God. There is nothing in us that attracted God to us, but in mercy and grace, He chose out of fallen humanity to save us, and we are duty-bound to give Him praise and thanks for that. Let thanksgiving be given to God for His sovereign mercy, which chose us out of the mire of our human depravity. And may this truth of God's electing love and grace burn into our soul and consume all pride, all self-righteousness. May it consume any desire to take credit for our salvation or any desire to be praised or lifted up. The doctrine of election should only humble us and lift our hands to God, thanking Him for choosing us for salvation. Letter S, we should thank God for the Scriptures. From the Word of God, we learn wisdom to live by. We learn the way of righteousness and blessedness. We learn what pleases God. We learn what God hates. We learn about God and His glory, God and His attributes. We learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of that comes to us through the Word of God. The Word of God transforms us. Through the Word of God, we find a channel for the power of the Spirit of God to work in our hearts. In the Scriptures, we find the heart, the mind, and the will of God revealed. We should thank God for the Word of God. Psalm 119, several verses say, "The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." So when you think of all the money that you have, and let's say you're rich and you have millions, this book is better to you, it is more profitable to you than all the money that you could ever dream of having. Because this book leads you to that God who can give you what money cannot give you. This book is better to you than thousands and millions and billions and zillions and quadrillions of pieces of gold and silver. This book is better to you than all of the money in all of the universe. This book is a greater blessing to your soul than all those things. We should thank God for that. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, the psalmist says. From thy precepts I get understanding. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. How many times have you gone to the Word of God and found peace and comfort for your soul in a supernatural way as the Spirit of God takes the Word and comforts your heart and ministers to you? It's the power of the Word of God. It's a light to our feet and a lamp. Well, finally, we should give thanks to God for our Savior, because without Christ, we go to hell. We go straight to jail. Don't pass gold. Don't collect $200. Without Christ, we go straight to hell. And Jesus Christ gives blessings to us, again, that cannot be compared with any temporal blessing. Because the blessings that Christ gives to us, we cannot lose. You can lose every temporal blessing that you have. You can lose your home. You can lose your job. You can lose your family. You can lose your house. You can lose all of these temporal things. But the blessings that Christ gives, you cannot lose them. For example, the blessing of eternal life. You cannot lose. The forgiveness of sins is yours forever. God's presence, where He promises, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, never, ever, ever, ever," that is yours. Nobody can take that from you. Access to the Lord through prayer, that we pray to a sympathetic high priest who understands, that is our privilege forever. Nobody can rob us of that. Well, we should thank God and bless God for our bounty, for our losses, for our election, for the Scriptures, and for our Savior. And this is just a beginning. We could add scores and scores more, which would be a valuable opportunity for all of us to think further upon this. In conclusion, if we do not give thanks to God, then we're guilty of a sin. And the sin is called the sin of ingratitude. If the people of God don't give thanks to God, then we rob God of the worship that He is worthy of. We ultimately then will take the glory to ourselves for our blessings, or we will just refrain from telling God and adoring God that He was the giver. And so the opportunity to worship is lost. Ultimately, a sin, the heart that has ingratitude in it, is a heart that is lacking the necessary grace. Such are like what one Puritan said, a heart of ingratitude is like a swine that devours all that drops from the tree of God's bounty and never looks up to acknowledge from whence it came. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to be like those 9 lepers that Wes read about. When 10 of them were healed from their leprosy, their life was given back to them. And out of those 10, only one came back to thank Christ. Only one came back to acknowledge to the Lord, "Oh Lord, you have healed me. I thank you and I praise you." Only one was ultimately saved. Only one received the forgiveness of their sins. Only one had a heart of grace manifested in a heart of thanksgiving. Christians are bound to give thanks to God. And when we do not, it is worse than when an unbeliever does not give thanks to God, because we have received so much more mercy and so much better blessings that we have a higher obligation and responsibility to give thanks to God. When we withhold those from God, it is a worse sin than when an unbeliever does, because we're under more blessings, we're under more responsibility to give thanks to God. Well, I close with Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle." So on Thursday, again, before the carnage breaks out, before the mind-numbing activity of watching those endless hours of football begins, huddle your... Pray for that. Who was that? Who said that? Huddle your little clan together. Get down on your knees. And thank God. Just simply thank God for your bounty, for your losses, for your election, for the Scriptures. And thank God that you have a Savior that died on the cross for your sins. Worship God. Giving thanks on Thursday. Well, let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, how much we have to give you thanks for. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that we can gather and just to remind ourselves just what a great privilege it is to give you thanks. But Lord, we are humbly reminded, Father, of many times that we forget. And Lord, we ask that you would be mindful of our frailties and our weaknesses and our sins, dear Lord, when we forget to thank you as you are so worthy of. But Father, as we approach this Thanksgiving season, let us not engage in the revelry and the enjoyment of all of our temporal blessings without stopping and taking pause and giving you thanks. Lord, the very breath we draw at this moment comes from you. Our heartbeat, everything we have, but most of all, we have Jesus Christ. And may our hearts always be thankful, always thanking God in everything. For truly, Lord, everything we have and everything we are has come from you. Help us not to forget that. And may this Thanksgiving truly be a time of giving thanks. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.